We're in Kesa Shem Tov, page 174, Aisamech Hey. It's a one line, of the Torah. We started last time. We just began last time. And it's like, you know, it's like with the Tosfos. When you have one line, it's much harder than the long Tosfos. And this is a Torah that is the yesod of many, many, many Torahs and all of the teachings of the Talmidei Baal Shem. And in the notes, he touches a little bit on some of the applications that we find, at least mostly in the Chabad Svarim, not only, but mostly in Chabad Svarim. He's the one who put this together is a Lubavitcher. But it's really in all of the Svarim. The Baal Shem Tov said, "Medabik yisatzon b'chelik echad, min ha'achdus dovuk b'kula." When a person binds himself to one chelik, we're reviewing a little bit. We saw this, but it's already quite a few weeks ago. When a person binds himself to one chelik of the achdus of that oneness or unity of Hashem, then he's dovuk b'kulo. Then he, in reality, he's dovuk to the entirety, to everything. And it's the same thing that if a person takes himself away intentionally, he takes himself away even from one din, one halacha, one minhag of the achdus of all of Yiddishkeit, then on a deeper level, he's detaching himself from the entirety. In the Perush, Hamadabek is atzom b'chelik yechman achdus, chelik uprat mitoch dover shekulo etzem echad. When something is an etzem echad, when something is not divided into parts, it might appear to be divided into parts, but in truth, those are different aspects, different bechinas of one mitzias. So chelik uprat mitoch dover shekulo etzem echad. We spoke a lot once on Shavuos night about the Rogatchover's way of understanding halacha, and we see this bechlal by other tzaddikim also, but especially by the Rogatchover, that when you take a cheluk uprat mitoch dover shekulei etzem echad, when there's an etzem echad, and you're dovuk to that etzem, you're dovuk to a cheluk of that etzem, to a part, a piece of that entirety. Azayu dovuk aydei zeh b'kulo. Then, in truth, you dovuk b'kulo. Kegon, for instance, Misha choshka nafsha l'kayim kol ha-mitzvahs, the person who really very much wants to be able to mekayim all of mitzvahs, but he's not able to, for whatever reason, at this time in his life, he's not able to. But he has a cheshek. Lakiyam ela achas, but all he's able to do is one mitzvah. Haydovak machshav to b'chol ha-Torah, because that's where he's holding on to this one part, and this one part, achas tiv v'lo arpenu. I'm holding on to this one mitzvah that I'm able to v'lo arpenu, and I'm not letting go of this. So Dovik Machshavto B'chol HaTorah. Since Yiddishkeit isn't a composition, some sort of a composition of thousands of details, it might seem to us that way, but in truth, it's an Etzem Echad of Achdus, of unity, of Hashem's unity, an expression or a manifestation of Hashem's oneness in this world. So when a person is only able to keep one thing, and he binds himself with all of his heart, and he's connected to this one piece, this one part of Yiddishkeit, because that's what he's able to do now, On a deeper level, he's dovuk to the entirety of Torah. Ker Torah kula echad hi, ve'eino mischalekes. Because in truth, the Torah is one, and it's eino mischalekes. It's indivisible. It seems that it looks to us like it is, but it's not. Vuha din ha'ipach, and so it is with the opposite. Shahamafrid umenatek atzma mechelik uprat echad mena achdus. A person separates himself, detaches himself from one chelik of the achdus. Hariyu nifrad aide zemikulo. Then, even though he might think that he's just rejecting this one piece, this one part, but in truth, he's separated mikulo from the entirety. As it's brought down in Halacha, somebody who says, I want to keep the entire Torah, or somebody, for instance, a person wants to be Mizgayer, he wants to convert, and he says that I like Yiddishkeit and I want to keep all of Yiddishkeit, except I'm not crazy about Hilchos Muktzeh, so that bothers me. I can't accept that, I can't believe in that. So Somebody who does that, somebody who says, Misha Amar Akaim Kola Torah Zulasi Davar Echad, except for one thing. That's not, that, or like they say nowadays, that doesn't work for me. Ein Adavik B'Torah. Shei Kol Mitzis HaTorah, Mitzis Achasei. Because the whole Mitzis of Yiddishkeit, all of Yiddishkeit is one thing. It's Mitzis Achasei. So when a person holds on to a part, wanting and hoping and davening that he'll be able to have all of it. On a deeper level, he's already attached. He's already in that place of all of it. And when somebody intentionally takes himself away from even the tiny part of it, on a deeper level, he's detached from all of it. So let's see a little bit some of the notes from the Svarm. Okay, footnote 2. We just started this last time. B'Toras Chabad Mekubal Inyan Zeh B'Shem Rabbeinu B'Nusach. In the Chabad Svarim, the Nusach of this is Ha'etzem K'sha'at Ha'toyfes V'Miktsaso. The Etzem, the essence, the thing itself. K'sha'at Ha'toyfes B'Miktsaso. When you're holding on even to a little bit of it, at Ha'toyfes B'Kulo, holding on to all of it. B'Toras Menachem Chelik Chaf Aleph. The Barbashabi explains, "V'amoshal azeh hu me'inyan," he says, "me'inyan hachiyas." A way to try to understand this is from chiyas, from life. What does that mean? Klolus hachiyas shebeguf adam hu etzem echad. The klolus of chiyas, life itself in a person, really is etzem echad. It's one thing. Ve'ishba kama chalakim. That energy that's called life, that etzem echa that's called life, is expressed or manifested as chiyush b'roish. The mind, the brain is functioning. There's life in the brain. Shabiyad, the hand. Shabregel, the foot. B'kasha toivsem mechelik echad ma'achiyas. And when you're toifes one chelik of that chiyus, the hainu kefisha chiyus mispashet be'ever prati, meaning that chiyus as it is manifested in one particular organ, one particular limb, as I toifsim is called etzem achiyus. Then the Rebbe explains you're toifes the entirety, all of the chiyus of that person. So therefore, even that, the danger to that particular organ or that particular limb, obviously, is a danger to the entire body. If a part of the person dies, so that, since that chiyus is mispashet to all of the evarim of the person, so the entire person is affected by it. Doesn't necessarily mean that he'll die right now, but he's affected by that. Kashatoivsim Achelik Echad Meachias, the Hainu, Kvisha Achias Mispashe Be'ever Proti, as I toivsim is Kol Etzam Achias. The Kemenshapakol Ever, Yeshno Oisa Etzam Achias. The same life and energy in the brain is in the little toe. The same Chias. The Chias of a person is an Etzam Echad. V'chol Etzam Bilti Mischalik. And the cloud that the Baal Shem Tov is telling us is that an etzem is bilti mischalik. The thing itself, the etzem, is indivisible. Nimsa shebekol chelak yesh naha etzem kulo. We see this nowadays, I explained last time, we see this with DNA, how even the tiniest little piece of skin from the little toe of a person has the whole genetic makeup of the person. It's the metzias, it's the chias of the person, which is manifested in the DNA. L'chein kasha ma'isifim agarim ba'achias shebe'eveh prati. Therefore, if you add to the life force of one part of the body, or you take away, as I must see from the garm gamba klolos achias shebishari varm, it has an immediate impact, immediate effect upon all of the limbs and the organs of the person. Veina perish shebizesh ahar yisofa ha'agiron einem ela b'chelik echad shel achias. It doesn't mean that you're only adding or taking away from one chelik of the chias. And that because all of the chalakim are, all of the pieces are connected to each other, therefore when you add or you take away from one piece, it affects all of the pieces. That's not what it means. The Rebbe explains that the meaning of this is that not because they're all connected, so the foot bone's connected to the, the knee bone's connected. It's not because of the connection. It's because shekevin shekol etzem bilti mischali. Hainu shachiyus hu echad. Life, chiyus, is one. It's not mischalik. It's echad. So hine kashen noigim b'chiyus. Therefore, when in any way you are touching, you are tampering with chiyus, with life, gam kefish nimtze be'ever echad, even if it's only in one ever, in one part of the body, as I know him etzem, then you're tampering with, you're dealing with the etzem, which is life itself. And therefore, the rest of the body, all of the organs, all of the limbs, are going to be affected by that. Not because they're connected one to the other, but because life is an etzem echad. And footnote 3, he explains, from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef and the Sefer Ben Peres Yosef, Le'el, Kan, Im afilo loy lamad ela chayk echad, zoyche bedina, o misha mishay afilo chok echad milasharma nidan begehanim. That if a person is only able to learn one din, one halacha, he could be Zeche Bedino in Shemaim at 120. He could be allowed into Gan Eden. If that's what he was able to. Shemisha Meshaya Afilu Chayk Echad Milashamro. But then on the other hand, you have a person who had the ability to do everything and he rejected a part. Nidon began. So that person is judged not in Gan Eden, but in Gehenna. So how could that be? The first person is only keeping a tiny thing. The second person is keeping lots and lots. He's keeping everything except for one tiny thing, except for a tiny thing. The difference is that the first person is dovuk. He is bound and devoted to one piece, to the etzem, and as a result of that, he is in the world of achdus. He's alive. He's connected to the oxygen. The other person, even though he's keeping everything except for one thing. Again, we're talking about intentionally, he rejects. Not because he's not able to. It's not, that's chas v'shalom, it's not, but he rejects it. So as a result of that, he's pulling the plug out of the outlet. He's pulling out the plug. And without that chias, he's neither in the Gehenna. He ends up in Gehenna, which is a place of detachment. Gan Eden is a reality of being attached to the Etzem, and Gehenna is being detached from the Etzem. The first person was holding on to whatever he could of the Etzem. That's Gan Eden. And therefore, he's pulled into Gan Eden by that little thread. He's able to be pulled into Gan Eden because he's holding onto the thread, and the thread is part of the whole talus. And he's pulled into Gan Eden. The one who has decided this part of Yiddishkeit is not for me. I don't buy into this. I don't believe this. I don't want this. So even though he's only cut off what seems to be one little strand, but that's the talus. And he's detached from the talus.
Really? That's your question?
I'd rather do a little bit more with this, and then we'll see if it's still a question. Okay, let's just try to understand a little bit more. There's a lot here, so let's try to work on it. Shalachar niros hades kesayis zu zu. Ach lefiyam uvul lefaneinu, ein kan machlaikis. It's not a machlaikis. Ki loy meid chayk echad. The meaning of someone who devotes himself to learning one din, heine ba'ofen shechashka nafshal lekayim kol ha-mitzvahs. He's filled with a cheshek to do everything. He wants everything. The other guy, m'shaya chak echad, who leaves out intentionally a part, heine ba'ofen shedoich ha-mitzvah achas bekavon etchila. He pushes away one of the mitzvahs bekavon etchila. That's not for him. For v'zeh ha-ma'at, and that little bit that he's holding on to, yaspik lo'im ha-machshava ha-toiva. Because remember, we learned from the Baal Shem Tov earlier that a person really is where his mind is. And since this person's mind is dovuk to the entirety, that's where he is. The other person's mind is separated from the entirety, and therefore he's in a place of emptiness. Because the Torah is one, it's indivisible. Kein hayideya ma'at mimena, umachshav doidovka bekula. He was sholem mitzad machshavta. This doesn't mean, chas v'chalil, that good intentions are enough. It's not saying that good intentions, you like to do it, you want to do it. It means the person, Bamis, is doing whatever he's able to. But whatever he's able to do is only a little bit. And that little bit, though, he's davuk to with all of his heart. He's davuk to. With the rotzen and the cheshek to be able to do whatever he wants to do, everything. There isn't anything in Yiddishkeit that he doesn't want to do, but he's limited right now. So he's in that place of achdus. He's connected to the oxygen. Footnote 7. Well, but Ben Paris Yosef can mevi al kach gam is divrei Rabbeinu Yosef Yaivitz ezu chacham halomid mikol adam. So the Mishnah says, who is a chacham? A person who learns from everyone. That's a chacham halomid mikol adam. And then you have the other people of in the Mishnah, but the easiest one to understand in the context of what we're learning is Ezu Chacham Alomid Mikol Adam. So we have this person. For the most part, he's an ignoramus. He knows very little. If you ask him physics, he doesn't know. You ask him biology, he doesn't know. You ask him history, he doesn't know. Lahavdil, when it comes to Gemara Rashi Tosis, doesn't know. Tanakh, he doesn't know. There's one quality, however, that he has. The Mishnah says, everybody he meets, anyone he talks to, he tries to learn from. He's a lomid mikol adam. He's a lomid mikol adam. He might be very, very limited in his ability to understand, and even in his exposure to chachmas of the world. But he has this mida. The mida is, he's a loymin mikol adam. So the Mishnah says that such a person, be'etzem, is a chacham. Then you could have somebody else that knows a velt. He knows a lot. He knows a lot. But if he sees you as being a second-class learner in the yeshiva, he wouldn't even hear what you have to say. He wouldn't even entertain the svara. He's not interested in what you have to say. You're not from the top guys in the shir. That person, according to the Mishnah, is not a chacham. He's a tipish. He's not a chacham. A chacham is a loymid mikol adam. Because that's a midah that's be'etzem, that he's mevakesh chachma. And because he learns from everyone, it means that he is existentially bound to this midah that's called chachma. Therefore, he doesn't care if it's a great Talmud Chacham, he wants to hear what he has to say. And he doesn't care if it's a little child, and he can learn something from this little child, from the way the child acts, he can learn something new, he goes for it. Because he's attached to Chachma Be'etzim. Every part of Chachma to him is a Metzias. It's all a Metzias Achas. It's called Chachma. Whether it's a big Talmud Chacham or some great professor, or it's a little child. Because his connection is to Chachma itself. It's to the Etzim of Chachma. And therefore, wherever he can get it, he's there. He's wherever he can get it from. He laps it up. He enjoys it. He wants it. Whereas you have this big scholar, and he doesn't find it becoming for him to even look at a child, let alone to learn from a child. That means it could be that he's mastered a lot of pieces of wisdom, but he's not connected to wisdom itself. Wisdom itself is an etzem echad, and the chacham looks for it everywhere in life. He sees it everywhere. He's surrounded by it. He's swimming in it. He's completely, completely immersed in chachma, and therefore might not be a scholar, might be a simple person, but he'll take it wherever he can get it, because that's his metzius. He's in it. Whereas this brilliant person, he's very selective as far as his sources of chachma are concerned. So to him, chachma consists of different pieces. And he's selective. He takes this piece, he's not interested in this piece. He'll take another piece. This piece is not for him. So he's not be'etzem a chacham. That's Eizu chacham alayim mikol adam yesh mi shekosov ki hayudeya kol hachachmas im eno ohev hachachma eno chacham. So you could have a person, Rabbi Yosef Yarvid says, the Talmud brings it down, you could have a person that knows all the chachmas. He's like a genius. He knows all the chachmas. And he's eno ohev chachma, but he doesn't love chachma. Eno chacham. That person is not a chacham. The fisher mitorich kach yisrash al milimal vishkak b'chol yom mashalomad. So he's explaining because since he's not ohev chachma, he's not really bound to this chachma, and he's going to lose it. Whatever his chachmas are, he doesn't love chachma, he's not connected to it, really. So it's going to slip away. Acha ohev chachma, however, a person who loves chachma, he's dovuk to chachma, umisave eleha, and he longs for chachma. Afal pish loy lomad klum, even though he hasn't really learned anything, nikra chacham, he's called a chacham. That's the Torah's definition of a chacham. Ki me'avoso or yisa yisigana. Now, Rabbi Yosef Ibitz explains, because of his great love, eventually he'll grasp it. But what the Baal Shem Tov is adding over here is that it's not even necessarily that he'll grasp it. He might be limited in that way, and he won't grasp it. It doesn't detract from his being defined as a Chacham Be'etzim, because he's holding on to Chachma. He's in that place of Chachma. How do we know that? Because he's Lomed Mikol Adam. Because wherever Chachma is, he grabs it. Because that's his Metzius, that he's Dovak to Chachma. So any appearance of Chachma to him is a gift, is exciting. Whereas you could have this other person who's a genius, and he's, again, piece here, piece there, he's selective, what, or from whom he's going to learn. I don't learn anything from this person. Why? If this child has something new to offer you, so why wouldn't you be interested? The Teretz is, on a deeper level, you're not a Chacham. You're not a Chacham. You're a genius, yeah, but you're not a Chacham Be'etzim. There are some teachers who can give over information as pieces of knowledge, and there are other teachers who can give the students, who are able to convey to the students a love of Chachma. You understand? There's a huge difference between those two teachers. You have someone that can lecture and get up and give a lecture, and it gives over all the material, boom, all the information, all the material is given over, but it hasn't transformed the child into somebody who is connected to Chachma. And you can have another teacher that doesn't have all the information, is not so great with all the curriculum, and isn't necessarily going to give over all the information, but the student walks out with that midah of Chachma. It's a very, very big chiluk. If the daven that our children and grandchildren are able to be exposed to teachers who are chachamim be'etzim, because then the rest of their lives they'll be able to be excited about learning and growing. Whereas with the other one, the second they finish the final, gamarnu. The second they're done with the test, they tear up the notes, throw out the book, finish. It's much easier to be the type of a teacher that gives information as opposed to a teacher that imparts wisdom, an ahava, a love. And if that's true when it comes to stamp, to biology or history, Allah has kama v'kama, and lahavdil alf alfei hevdalos, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, there are teachers who are able to say over lots of information, but the kid walks out essentially the same person that walked in. It's just that he's a person that's also able to say over some Torah. But he hasn't become a ben Torah. He hasn't been transformed into a person of Torah. He hasn't changed. Like I mentioned a few months ago, that somebody was telling me that he's part of a shul that he's been in for 45, 50 years, and he says, and it consists of essentially the same people, and everybody's exactly the same as they were 40 years ago, the Chaver. That was the same fixation with the Super Bowl. The same kissing during Kiddush, the other guy's wife. Everything's the same. They walked in like in 1970, whatever it is, and they're coming out 2020, the same. Except they did that Yomi two times, whatever, three times, however many more, I mean, whatever times during those years, they did the daf. But the same kind of people, the same fighting, the same arguing, the same silliness, the same, kiddish clubs, and the same Irishkeit, and the same smallness, the same type of Jews. Nothing really changed, just that lots more information than they had 40 years ago. They're much more informed than they were 40 years ago, which is, okay, it's a good thing. But that's not what Hashem meant when he gave the Torah in Har Sinai. That everybody should sit at Har Sinai just taking notes, you know? There's no question that there were people that were sitting at Har Sinai like with their laptop. That's for sure. Those teachers who are obsessed with just giving information, they're very, very, very worried about students not taking notes. Those teachers who are imparting the wisdom of Yiddishkeit, it doesn't particularly bother them whether the students take notes. But what worries them is if the student is the same person, with the same smallness that he was when he left. You could be a very small person that has a packed computer. But laptop has tons of information, and you have every app of every, you know, Torah, Halacha Yomi, Rambam Yomi, Mishnah Yomi, Daf Yomi, Tanya Yomi. You have every single thing, all the apps, and you'll do them and you look at them. The Zelba Mensch, says Zelba, it's the same person. Before the apps, after the apps, it's the same person. That's why there's such a tremendous chiluk. One of the reasons why there's such a tremendous chiluk between learning something from a Rebbe, a teacher, as opposed to just learning something from a computer, reading something on a computer. Even when it comes to just looking at a sefer as opposed to reading something on a computer. Because the sefer itself is dovuk to the etzem of chachma. The computer is just a cold piece of metal. It's not dovuk to the chachma. It has that same computer that has the Rambam and the Shas and Tanya, that same computer has on it, Gilligan's Island. if you don't know what that is, I'm sorry. But the things that are much worse than Gilligan's Island. But the same computer. Says it. So as far as being informed, you can get tons of information from the computer. But if you walk around with your Rebbe in your briefcase, that's a big Rachmanis. And the computer's not a Rebbe. The computer's not the Etzem HaChachma. This is a very, very big Inyan that is not really discussed that much. It's not discussed that much. But that's a tremendous, tremendous difference. There are many, many people who are very good at informing, but that doesn't make you into a teacher. A true teacher is somebody who, until 120, you don't only remember, but your life is different because of that teacher. I could remember a teacher when I was a little kid, and I had for 1 year, but I really believe that my life is different because of that teacher. Then there are tons of teachers in Rebbeim that I listened to what they had to say, and they were good. Some of them were not. But I'm grateful because I got information, and the information is helpful, but it's not transformative. It's not a chacham. The greatest schus is to be connected to a teacher, to a rebbe, who is a chacham, and then it's not a matter just of more information. It's somehow through that individual, you're connected to the entire thing. You feel that you're connected to the achdus, to that oneness. That doesn't mean that I don't have so much information. I might have much, much less information than some other person, than some brilliant person that all these things and he's got and he stores information. So he stores information. So the computer stores information better than you. So that makes the computer into something of a Jew, because you store information. The tachlis of Torah was to bring us to a place where we could be dovuk to Hashem as well. Torah is dveikus basha. And what is the information if it didn't bring you into that achdus, into that dveikus? What's the information? So what do you need? So computer also has everything. So the same way we used to have to know how to add and subtract. You don't have to do that anymore. Because you have everything. The kids already know. I remember when they first came out with calculators. I think I was in school then, in high school. I don't remember when they first came out with calculators. So then all of us looked at each other. We said, we don't need these teachers anymore. Why do we need math? So they always had some feeble explanation. I don't mean this against math teachers, but they always had this feeble explanation, like you never know when you won't be able to have your calculator. So he knows, I need you just for Shabbos. I'm not calculating things on Shabbos anymore. Look, I have to figure out if I have any pieces of kugel I had. Seriously. One piece of Yerushalmi, one piece of Lakshin, and one piece of potatoes, three pieces of kugel. Basic math, I'm able to figure that out. So what? So the math, they had to try to find explanations, like, why are we making your life miserable with like with a cosine and a logarithm. You ever meet in your life a logarithm? I never met. I don't know. Like, I still don't understand like what that Indian was. So they always said, no, if you want to be an architect, I'm not interested in being an architect. But you never know. You might want to be an architect. So logarithms, and had in the back, you remember the whole table of logarithms? And I remember that the one guy in the class said, like, what is that? Can you just tell me what that is? So the teacher wanted like a whole pilpul, a whole tire, and it was, what the, chart. Like, I'm going to see this. What's a log? What is that? Now, I'm sure it is something, but the it's you know, a conglomeration of many, many, many pieces and information. That's also on a calculator. That's also on a computer. The Baruch Hashem wanted us to become Jews, and to be dovek to him, to be dovek to him. And the Baal Shem Tov is telling us a chiddush, that this guy that's dovek to one part is a yid, is be'etzem a yid, and the genius, the computer that's detached from one part, is like not. I see it. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. It's not the usual way of looking at things. The bottom over there, footnote 7. Val kach moisev shom ve'ef shalahamtik atam ezer v'leim v'chul mevi ezdor v'anal. So that's how. So Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz explains the Mishnah. Of Ezehu Chacham Haloimid Mikol Adam. It's the same explanation with Ezehu Samech, Ezehu Asher Samech Bechelko. Who's the rich person? The one who's Samech Bechelko. It's the same Torah. The rich person is the one who rejoices with whatever chelik he has in life. Whether it's little or it's a lot, he's Samech Bechelko. So he's an Asher Be'etzim. He's a rich person. Be'etzim. Why? Because every single chelik of in life that he has is, hey, I'm happy. So he's an usher be'etzim. Not like the ashirim, the gvirim, that if they lose something, they're no longer ashirim. Or less of an aisha. Or not ashirim at all. Are not happy. They become miserable. They're miserable. Ezu Asher Samech Bechelka. A wealthy person is Samech Bechelka. Whatever it is. So you have this guy. He lives in a tiny little apartment somewhere. He barely has anything to eat. But Samech, Hamish Samech. Then you have the combined wealth of like Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders. The combined wealth. As my mother was telling me about the debate yesterday. It's embarrassing, this couple of Jews over this. The combined wealth of Bernie Sanders, the millionaire, communist, with the former mayor of New York City, the combined wealth, it could be people unhappy. They're so unhappy that even though they have everything, they still need to be president because thus felt, this is missing in my life. Like, seriously, if I'd be Bloomberg, I would just go to Big Lies and buy the whole Swarm store. No? And go to Yerushalayim again. You buy an apartment in the old city or wherever you like in Eretz Yisrael, and you have all the Swarm. Not only that, you could even buy another apartment to keep the Swarm in, which prevents you from getting crazy because they're all over and your wife is upset, right? And you have a window that looks out to the Har HaBayis. You invite Chaim David over, you sing a couple in the Gunim, and you're happy. Bloomberg does Feldman, he has to be president of the United States. Like, what's the matter with the guy? He's 70 years old, something. And this is missing in his life to be president. All it means to be president is to have aggravation. It's the biggest aggravation in the world. It's harder than being the mayor of New York. So what does he need that for? No. Because he lost a mayor. Of course, everybody tells the world, because I think I could help. What it really means is, I think that you could help me. That's what it really means. I think I could help means you could help me. Because this is missing in my life. There's something in my life that I haven't conquered. And therefore I have to have it. Same thing with the president now. I'm grateful for all the gewaltige things he's done and he's doing. But what? This was something he needed? Seriously, what does he need this for? There isn't a day that, I don't know how this guy gets up in the morning. It's only because he's so crazy. Because the way everybody hates him and the way they talk about him, it's hard to believe that this guy can go on with his life. But he's happy. You know why he's happy? Because he got the presidency. So now he thinks he's happy. So Ezer Osher, Samech Bechelko. An Osher is somebody who's Samech Bechelko. Im Rav, Im Ma'at. Ha'ashir lo yaber, v'adal lo yamid. From what? Machsa shekel, am chay. I have a half a shekel. Poor person, rich person, I have a half a shekel. And if I'm dovuk to that, b'simcha, then I'm a person that's, everything I get, whatever I have, I'm an osher, I'm rich. And if I'm not dovuk to that midah, be'etzem. So then, even if I'm the biggest billionaire in the world, I feel like I have nothing. I'm totally detached. Because it's a midah of an asher, a sameach v'chelko. It's the midah of asheris, as opposed to somebody that's just an asher. An asher is somebody in the world, an asher is somebody who's got tons of money. But every single one of his dollars is separate from the other dollar. You understand? It's an osher. He's got a lot of dollars, but they're all separated. There's somebody who is be'etzem an osher. What he has is not mischalik. It's all one etzem, that he's dovuk to that midah of asheris. Therefore, everything he has is one etzem, and that's mesameachim. He only has a couple of dollars. He only has a little bit, and the guy's got billions of dollars. But the guy with the billions of dollars is not dovuk to ashiras, to the midah of what an asher is. An asher is a sameach b'chelko. His chelik, he's holding on to that chelik, and that chelik makes him happy. His chelik of life, whatever it is, more or less, half a shekel, makes him happy. He's happy. And therefore he's always happy. He loses this dollar, he's still happy. He makes a dollar, he's happy. Doesn't have, he does have, he's happy, bad son. Whereas the other guy with the whole collection of money, if he loses part of it, he's finished. He can't sleep, he's miserable, he's angry, he's jealous. Even though he's got tons of, like the guy with all the information, he's got tons of dollars. He's got tons and tons of dollars. So why are you unhappy? What's the matter? You have so much money. This is missing. He's not an Osher Be'etzem. He's just a nobody that made a lot of money. Or a smart guy that made a lot of money, but he's not an Osher Be'etzem. An Osher Be'etzem is something which is not mischalik. It's a midah of Ashiris. And the midah of Ashiris is that he's Sameach Bechelka. He's Sameach Bechelka. He's happy. More or less doesn't make a difference. He's happy. David, you still have the question? Because I don't want you to go into Shabbos.
Lo lishma, bo lishma. This idea of all or nothing very often is the Yetzirah, so you have to take it all. If a guy came up to you and he was missing a certain part of Yiddishkeit or disagreed, you wouldn't tell him for a minute, you know, don't bother, you know, don't try. You'd say, keep going.
Of course.
You'll change. So this seems to be a little counter that if you're not in all the way, you're never going to be in. There are people who are not in all the way, and you would never tell them you're not going to be
in. No, those people that you're talking about are not this person. The person that the Baal Shem Tov is talking about is somebody who knowingly and intentionally, filled with haughtiness and arrogance, says, I don't need that. That's not who you're talking about. You're talking about regular people. Okay. Regular people who don't say that. Chas v'shalom. We try to. Slowly. There's a process. That's okay. The Baal Shem Tov is talking about the arrogant, haughty person that says, I don't need this. And nowadays, even if a person talks like that, it's also it's usually just ignorance, and it's not haughtiness or arrogance. So it has to be adjusted to the person that we're talking about. It's not talking about a regular person. It's not these kind of people that are not yet fully there. Of course, we do whatever we can to bring them along further and further on the journey. That's not the kind of person that the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. You understand? That's a different person.
Sounds like a very...
If you understand a little bit, it means you understand. as long as you're dovuk to it.
It's okay. I mean, are these the Jews who were rebellious in Europe, who were Tamidei Chachamim and were against certain things, so they're taken to task because they know it?
Maybe it would be such a person.
That's what you're talking about?
It's talking about somebody who willfully and arrogantly says, I don't want this, I don't need this. The other kind of a person, the average person, would say something like, I don't see how this relates to me. I don't feel comfortable with this. This is strange to me. I don't think I want this. I don't think I could do this. There are different lashonos. It's hard to say exactly when are we coming into the... I'd rather focus more on the positive person that the Baal Shem Tov was talking about as opposed to the negative, because I don't know nowadays, now generation, whether we have such an individual that understands things enough to say that, I don't want this part. It's certainly not talking about Jews that are reform or conservative or they don't know anything. They don't know anything. It's not, they're not rejecting Yiddishkeit. They don't know it. So how do they reject it? You can't reject it if you don't know it. They don't know Yiddishkeit. So they're not rejecting.
But there are Orthodox people who say, the hair thing is not realistic, or the pants thing is not realistic.
Those people, those Orthodox Jews that are saying that, to be down the kafskus, they're also amaratzim. Mostly it's amaratzis, not willful. It's mostly amaratzis. But they are getting into murky, dangerous waters, those people. If you have someone who learned his whole life in yeshiva and said that covering the hair is not my inyan, they're in dangerous territory. They got to, like, you're already starting to the things like buzzing over there. You got to be very careful. They're getting into like a minefield. They're very careful. But mostly it's the amaratzim that talk like that. Mostly amaratzim. It's a limud zchus to say he's not amaratz. You know, I'm not saying in a bad way. It's mostly amaratzim. They don't understand what does it mean. What is it to cover? You take a typical guy that was raised. A very modern Orthodox background. He could be like one of these sweet Jews that, you know, you see by Mincha Maariv, and he's 75 years old, and his wife, never covered her hair. He used that as an example. He doesn't. He's not Chas Shalom. He has no inyan with Hashem Yisborach, and he's not against Yiddishkeit. He's a Maariv. He doesn't know. Nobody ever explained to him. He never learned what it is. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know. It's not a bit. He's not, God forbid, someone that wants to be detached from Yiddishkeit. He would die to be a Jew. All of these chevra, they would die to be Jews. But it's not Maritz. He doesn't know. Nobody ever told him. He's already 7 years old. How come he ever looked into it? It's a taina. So maybe, it's a taina of some sort, but not chas v'chalila that he's somebody that's detached from what the Baal Shem Tov is talking about. That's the best I could say about this. I really don't know. That's about how do you measure these things? Only Hashem's Baruch knows these things, where a person is. On the top of page 175. Well, betoldes Yaakov Yosef, where you see the parentheses, betoldes Yaakov is chayisora, maybe it's divrei Rabbeinu Yosef, yaivis lo'ovis lo'olim shal mishnah beis. Benazir em ha'verotz la'mitzvah kala, shemitzvah geriris mitzvah. So here, the toldes brings also from Rabbi Yosef Yaiv, it's another mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the Hemshech there, that also brings this point out very clearly, that Ben Azai says that you should chase after any mitzvah, even a mitzvah kala, even a mitzvah that seems to be like not from the top chashuva mitzvahs. Go for it. Why? Because mitzvah is gereves mitzvah. It's the same yisod, right? Because all the mitzvahs is one fabric. So if you go after a mitzvah kala, It could be a small thing that seems that might seem to be less significant than major mitzvahs. I know people that they got that they ended up becoming Bali Tshuva because of a minig, like not just of a mitzvah, like of a minig. and they felt a connection to that minhag, and through that is one thing leads to another. Because why? Because it's once they're holding on to that little piece of the talis, so then they can be pulled completely into the whole beged. That's also, we see that in the Mishnah. Hey, what's the mitzvah kalish? A mitzvah gereves mitzvah. Mitzvah gereves mitzvah. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. It's not just because the mitzvahs are connected somehow. Like, it's not all the way, it's a chain. It's that Yiddishkeit is an etzem echad. And therefore, if you're davuk to one thing, even if it's a mitzvah kala, even if it's a small thing, and you're davuk to that, if you have a Jew that, even though the Jew says he's not, the whole thing is not for him, but he doesn't miss Hanukkah candles, you know? He's got his electric menorah, and he plugs it in, comes to Hanukkah, he lights it up, and he sings Moses Surah or something. So this is somebody that is unquestionably in the parasha of Yiddishkeit. He's in the parasha of Yiddishkeit. Until recently, most Jews were on some level in that parasha. And now, if they're not, it's mostly because of Amraj. It's not that they don't want to have a connection. They just don't, they don't know. They're not chas v'chalila people that don't want to be connected. They just don't know. They don't know. But mitzvah is gereres mitzvah. Al derech emes inyan gadol ramas bekan ben azay. So the Talmud says, I mean, based upon this Rav Yosef Yaivitz, the Talmud explains that this little comment from Ben Azai that you should chase after mitzvah kalik is mitzvah geres mitzvah. So he says you should know that he's telling us a big yesod in Yichud Hashem, b'mitzvah sayichud, in the unity of God, in the mitzvah of believing in Hashem's unity. Because the inyan of Hashem's mitzvahs is a great wonder. Because they're all bound one with the other. The same way that Hashem is one. Kach terasso achas. Kach terasso achas. So too, his Torah is one. And now tying this back together with what the Lubavitch Rebbe was saying, that the using chiyus, the life of the body as a mashal to understand this, so we see the mitzvahs are divided into the organs and the limbs, right? The Ramach and the Shasa, the 630 mitzvahs, the limbs and the organs, and we understand. Because all of the limbs and the organs is an inyan echad, and therefore there are tayak mitzvahs, it's an inyan echad. One inyan, life. Yiddishkeit is life. Chodem also yibetzelem elokim. Chodem also yibetzelem elokim. Hatar yitzelem shem havaya kulam shemaisav shkash baruchu. All of the Torahs, the Ramban says in Hagdama, all of Torahs, Hashem's names, it's all shem Hashem. All of Yiddishkeit is shem Hashem. Nimsis neregis al shem havaya. The Torah is woven together with the shem yukevavke. Hayna Teres Hashem. It's Teres Hashem. Every pasuk, every word, every letter is Teres Hashem. So therefore, like the Rambam tells us, if a person says that even the name of one of the wives of Yishmael or one of the children of Esav, and you don't believe that that's Menas Shemayim, you're already not Bikaris, right? You're Kaifer B'Tayra. Well, I believe in the whole Torah, I just don't believe that name is real. You're Kaifer B'Tayra. Because even that name is Taras Hashem. Everything is Taras Hashem. He kula achasi. Imke misha yachzik ba'achas kimamara. Therefore, if you're holding on to even one letter, one word, one letter, because right now that's what you could do, but you're holding on tight with all of your strength, so you're yachzik ba'kula. So the Baal Shem is teaching us that you're really machzik b'kulon. You're holding on to Teres Hashem. You're holding on to Teres Hashem. It's like, you know, there's a boat that's traveling and you're holding on to like some rope that's coming out from that boat, or a piece of the boat, and you're moving. Right, so Mitzvah next Erev Shabbos, we're going to finish the notes that from some of the Chabad Svarim. We'll finish the notes of Mitzvah Shem next. Repent in a second.